Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a fresh, brand new Gaming Uncensored, and of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
Not that much, honestly, to tell you the truth. We're going to talk about games, which is exciting, so we'll get into that momentarily. We do have some news that we'll get to, including Fallout 76, which we haven't talked about a ton yet. We've got stuff to talk about, because there's apparently always going to be stuff to talk about with that game. We also have the nominees for the Game Developer Choice Awards, which is always my favorite ones, and so we'll talk through some of those. Won't be surprising, but fun. That's about it, honestly. We've got, like, PlayStation Plus games for January and releases, many, so...
Don't get all depressed, because I tell you right now, I got my gaming group back. So, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So we will get to plenty of stuff, just not much of it news. That being said, go ahead and go by the website, gaminguncensored.com, to see the show notes that are there, and other fun stuff you'll find over there.
Yes. Absolutely. So where do we want to start, sir?
So we have a segment. We have a segment for our boy Brigham. So we could either do the segment and then talk about games, or we can talk about games and then do the segment.
I say let's do the segment, get Brigham's 2 cents in, because Brigham always says something that makes us think.
Yes. This is a fun one, too. So
let's do that, and then let's talk about games, because I've got one more reason we will not be playing Fallout 76 for a while.
Ever. I think is pretty safe at this point. So,
yeah.
That being said, before we get to the segment, let me just really quickly, right here at the top of the show, look at us being all professional stuff. Big thanks to our Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Firestorm. I have to take a breath in the middle of that list now, which is a wonderful problem to have. So thank you guys for your support. Every month means the world to us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com, and there's the Become a Patron link right there near the top of the page over on the right-hand side. We will give you a shout-out. You can come hang out with us on the roundtable, which is a good time, and other fun stuff. So,
we always say other fun stuff, and there's not really any other fun stuff. you'll find out by the end of the show there's gonna be some fun stuff, because I have a new toy. So look forward to that.
I think
we're going dungeon crawling.
Yes,
sir.
That's fair. So we'll get to that in just a second. Until then, here is Brigham.
What's up, Jamie and Tommy? It's Brig. I have this amazing idea right before going to bed that I just had to get out on recording for you guys, a segment. I played Battlefield 1 earlier today, and it was an amazing deal. I want to bring this back in the topic here in a moment, but it's actually my second attempt trying to record this, because I guess when I turned off screen on SoundCloud on my phone, it stops recording. Stupid. But imagine if Steam went into a virtual reality interface. I've never had a VR headset. I've never used a VR headset. I've never even tried a VR headset. doesn't really actually fully interest me unless this one now idea that just popped in my head would come out. Which is shocking because I work for a company that builds gaming PCs. Although I'm in the IT part, but we have an entire room that's just gaming PCs. People can like take a break and go play a game. They're on the lunch. They can put on the VR headsets. But I really don't take lunches and stuff when I'm on site doing work. But anyways, what if Steam created a Sims-like Second Life world of Steam? In the sense of you put your VR headset on, you enter Steam. That is the game, the reality, the world is Steam. Because that is people's home on gaming PC. That is their house. There is essentially their home. That's their platform. And so let's say you go down the street and you got your friends, all on your friends list. You can go to all their houses. Now, some people have a megaton worth of friends. This is ridiculous, but then you can create groups, whatever. But you could go to your friend's house and people can put the option of their, like a full body shot of them so you know who they are, or just maybe the profile picture, whatever, on the door. Then they have the living room and they have like a cool gaming area, like the epic gaming PC they could virtualize inside the game, even though it just looked like basic graphics, 3D objects. And they have like a bookshelf, that's their library. If there are people who have like hundreds of games, you sort by letter, or you can sort by developer. Then you can like literally take a pull that off the shelf. You can even do searches. They can pull that game off the shelf. And let's say you want to look at how many times they play. So you can literally in the game, in the virtual world with those little handle controllers, flip it upside down with HTC Vive controllers. And then you can look at the details of how many hours they've played, the current ratings. Do you want to buy it if you don't own it? Or it tells you if you already own it. Yeah, you own it. And let's say that you can go from that gaming room to their living room inside that house. And you can literally plug it into a TV or put into a DVD Blu-ray player onto, and then what it does is request the player, if they're playing the game, let me see your live stream. And it literally starts live streaming if that gamer accepts it. It doesn't matter whether they're in the 2D or 3D world. Don't matter. 2D as in real life. Kind of weird to think of real life as 2D, but whatever. In the regular gaming or in the virtual reality. So they literally, if they accept it, then you can sit back on the couch in the virtual reality world and watch them live stream on the TV. Now, let's say they have, in the Steam, what they do is you go down the street and then boom, there's a Steam store. You can literally walk through different sections. You can choose your options how you want your store. This is your custom store. No one else's. That's one thing, that's what Steam has been doing. They kind of tailor some of the automatic recommendations based off of your habits, what you've been playing, what you've been watching, what's on your watch list, what have you started following most recently. So certain recommendations start coming up in Steam, but you can create your own store to exactly what you want. Like, do you want to favor certain developers by year, AAA indie games, those anime games are coming up 1,000 a day, whatever. Now, you can't really put every single game in there, but you can still put categories, shooters, and you can walk around the store based off the category, just like a GameStop would be. But those are more consoles, by consoles, by platform, but you can do your own version of GameStop with Steam and virtual reality and walk around. Now, let's say you need to see the reviews of those games. You pick them up, and you can look on the back. It turns into like a tablet, and you can read the reviews. And then let's say, I don't want it. And then you can literally, if you do want the game, like say, all of a sudden you see The Division, Tom Clancy's Division. It gets its own virtual cash register. You give it over, and then boom, you choose the pay option. And if you have a saved payment method, you can choose that right inside the virtual reality. I think that would be a great option they could do. And let's take it even a step further. You go down the street in this virtual reality, and there's the mall. This is the discussion, the community hub of Steam, and you can sort, you can create your own store just by choosing categories, layouts. You can do floors or just a big giant IKEA size like building, but like stores for like the developers, years, the community hub, based off of certain discussion threads, your games discussion threads, which most of them, that's how they are, videos, pictures, artwork. any of those kind of different things that you see in the community hub, you can really organize that in the mall. Because what is a mall in real life? It is a form of, it's a shopping place too, but a lot of people, from teenagers to even elderly people, they go there to also social, either whether they're walking around the mall walkers, people hate, by the way, or they go there to just have a breakfast, have some food, and chill and talk with their friends, or they just window shopping with their friends, walking around, having conversations. It is a community hub in real life, and they can put that in the game, or in the Steam virtual reality world. It would be perfect to create it like a mall, and then you can sit there and discuss it. And people who are in the virtual reality world of Steam, you can literally have your discussions of those games without having to type it. And then that's where the chat comes up. You get the big chat rooms, like virtual reality chat rooms, AIM, Yahoo, whatever, blah, blah. But that's not really going to be part of Steam. It's the Steam chat. So say you're in the virtual reality, and you can literally walk into that chat room. You can see your other friends if they're in the virtual reality. Or you just have, you can do just the voice. And so it's like your character be like on a phone or a headset. And so people will know if you're actually like talking in the virtual reality world. You're actually already on a headset. So it puts you in a, like, say, if it puts like a headset inside the virtual reality world, so people who are walking by, they know if you're actually talking to someone already. And they can put like in like Arma 3, or even all the Arma games, when you're talking in voice, your lips move in the game. So they can do that inside of Steam as well. Your avatar creates the lips move when you're talking to your friends. Now, if you're in a friend or group chat, whatever, they can't hear you. And if you're not, then they can hear you. If you're not in actual chat with your friends, you can choose to chat in the mall. And so, and I know there's audio, like, Tommy, you know that how they have audio in games where it sounds like it has that proper reverb or echo coming off of walls. Like, I know there's a game that was kind of right after PUBG came out, as standalone, there's one who made one, like, you had to say, get these crystals or whatever. And they were great audio effects where it sounds like they're inside of a room, or they're actually inside of a cave, and it worked really well when they're talking through direct chat, and it was amazing. And they could do that in Steam as well. So while Steam, they don't make anything no more, they're just a hub, I honestly believe they could provide an API, and there would be someone who'd be willing to do this. Now, it's a huge endeavor. I think there's a lot more design, but I think if they create a sandbox and let the gamers make their home, their dream home, kind of like Sims, but it doesn't cost anything. They just build whatever the hell they want. Or you can just do a stock, basic home, futuristic things, like a spaceship, whatever you want. Kind of like in Second Life. Jamie, you know how that goes. I just think this would be a cool idea for virtual reality. Steam has the platform. They have their headsets. They can do it. They have the money and resources, I'm sure. Well, it's a huge endeavor. They need probably better servers for to handle this. But I think they could literally, I'm not sure how the code works, I'm not a programmer, but they could literally, it's just a graphical interface. It's all it is a GUI. And it correlates with the 2D world, the 2D Steam store. So let me know what you guys think. I thought this was a great, it just literally just popped in my head. And the reason why it popped in my head was after playing Battlefield 1, I actually had a recent, decent chat discussion with one of the guys, and he started all of a sudden, another guy kicked in, and we're talking about like carpal tunnel and weird shit while playing a game. One guy says, I get carpal tunnel from counting money all day, and I'm super rich. And he's talking, and then he says, I'm just a student and count money in the bank because I'm a teller. But I'm so rich, I get to play this in a holographic world, in my holographic, in myself, whatever. And so as I start laying down, I'm like, wait, Steam, virtual reality, they got their headset, they can do it. So I know this is long, but I just had to get this out. This is.
I have no idea what that music was going after the segment, but
I had no idea, but I thought you were going somewhere there. It was feeling good.
It just kept on going. It was going to give us some theme music to talk to. So there's Brigham's idea.
All right, so I'm taking this point by point because there's a lot going on here, and I want you to hang with me for a second here because I don't know if you've ever realized it, but Brigham or Brig, that's his new name. I'm just going to start calling him Brig because he's cool like that. I I think he might be the gaming uncensored version of a young Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Right? Like, you remember that scene in Back to the Future where young Doc Brown, still with the really white, crazy hair? Marty's at the door, banging on the door, talking about, you made the Flux Capacitor! But Doc pops his head out the door and he goes, you mean this? And shows him that drawing. Like, here in about 6 months, there's going to be drawings of just this virtual reality world all over Briggs' house. And that's all it's going to be about. I'm telling you, he is the young Doc Brown of Gaming Uncensored.
I like it.
He's even got the speech.
He does.
He talks exactly like Doc would if he was 20 years old.
Yep.
Secondly, ain't nobody wants a full body shot of either one of us ever.
True.
Even in VR, that ain't happening.
Yeah, the beauty of VR is you get to not be you. So whatever my avatar looks like, it needs to not look like me.
It'll still be a hairy dude.
Yeah, it's got to have a beard. That's like the only requirement. As long as I have a beard, we're good.
He'll just have a little six-pack going on. Yeah. You know?
Definitely a little more slender than me in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. as long as we can tweak that a little bit, I'll do the whole full body thing.
Yep.
Thirdly, you and I, when we were growing up, video stores used to be our jam.
Yes.
Right? So the idea of walking through the Steam department store, I really love that. Like, I really do. But if they're going to get it right, they got to get the smell-o-vision going. And you got to have that video store smell.
Yes, because they had a very distinctive smell. It's kind of like a library, how a library has a really distinctive smell. Like Blockbuster had that smell. Different smell, but a very, like, you could blindfold somebody and walk them into a Blockbuster of our generation. Of course, now younger people don't have any clue. But you would immediately recognize where you are just from that scent.
It's like going to a casino.
Sans the smoke.
Like, they got, like, pheromones in the air, and you're like, you walk in and you take a breath and you're like, Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to get that right. If they get that right, I'm all in.
It does bring up a like something I'm actually very curious about, because the VR seems so posed to do a kind of virtual social world really well, something like Second Life, which Brigham mentioned in there. Now, I'm not into Second Life at all. You're into Second Life via work. I don't think you would probably spend any time in there otherwise. But you at least have that experience with that kind of perpetual social world.
Well,
like, VR Second Life or something similar seems to make a ton of sense to me. But I don't know, like, I'm sure something exists out there, but I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal yet.
Oculus has drivers for the Second Life viewer.
Interesting.
I've not ever used it. I've not ever tried it. You speak correctly in that if it wasn't for work, and I hope nobody that I work with ever hears this.
Yeah, not trying to get you in trouble.
I would not be there. But as far as the virtual world is concerned, I am the minority. There are people that is where they want to be.
Yes.
And they have their friends, and they even have families and people they like to spend time with, and it's a very interesting social space. I'm not that guy, which I will honestly tell you frustrates Evie to no end because she's like, you're a comedian. Why can you not deal with these people? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't want, no.
Yeah.
But I am most definitely the minority there. So, right, it's a thing. And these people that spend the vast majority of their time in these worlds, what he's talking about will happen because it already is.
Yeah.
The only thing is they don't have headsets.
Yeah, that's there's not the VR heavy equivalent of this yet. And again, I'm sure there's something. I'm just going to start browsing VR stuff on Steam, and I bet I'll find something pretty quickly. But maybe this is the disconnect in this thing, is that people that are into VR are you and me, who are not into Second Life. And so, or, you know, something similar to that. So maybe there's not a ton of overlap in the kind of people at this point. Let me clarify there, because if VR grows and gets a wider audience, then the audience obviously changes, the user base changes. But at this point, I think maybe it's like the introverted gamer is into VR, and I don't even say that. Like, I think probably a lot of people that are on Second Life are probably introverts, and that's why they're on Second Life instead of real life. Well, like,
the people that are on it are people that can be around the people that they want to be around, and I say this from personal experience because I know this is why people do it. They can be around the people that they want to be around, and then when they've had enough, they can just turn it off. And regardless of whether you have let them into information about your real life, like, you don't ever have to see those people again.
Right.
If you get tired of somebody or something, you just turn it off. And that's what that's what the introverted virtual reality people like. And I gotta be honest, it scares the crap out of me. because there are people that after work, in their actual lives, this is where they go.
Yeah.
And this is what they do. And I've been watching it for 10 years. And I gotta be honest, what Brigham was talking about happens on a daily basis to an extent that he hasn't even thought of yet. Like, there are people that literally have whole lives on these virtual worlds.
Sure. The missing connection is the virtual reality side of it, of making that a big deal where it's not me sitting in front of my computer, but it's me with my headset on at home interacting right. in this world. And again, it seems like it's ripe for it. It's dystopian in that, like, that could be the downfall of society, is that we all just, you know, shelter in our virtual worlds and, like, Ready Player One and don't, like, live out in the real world or whatever. You know, like, there's this sense that's the future, for better or for worse. But yet, when we have, right now, today, practical virtual reality, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Again, there may be this community that I'm just completely unaware of. And so if anybody out there listening knows about, like, big social worlds and VR, I want to hear about it. I'd be fascinated to hear about it. I know about Second Life. I don't know of the virtual reality equivalent of that. Even, like, with drivers to do virtual reality in Second Life, I don't think many people are doing that, you know.
Because the other thing is the people that are in this environment, and this is very broad, I'm not going to say most, but a large percentage of them are broke.
Sure.
Like, a large percentage of them don't have money, don't have resources, and this is a very, very, other than the hardware, other than the computer, it's a very cheap form of entertainment.
Yeah. How heavy does Second Life run?
Well, it's getting heavier every day.
Yeah.
And, like, you and I built a computer for Evie, and we put a lot of stuff in there that we wouldn't have put in a computer, namely a 1070, basically because I said she's going to need that.
Yeah.
And she uses it every day. And it gets heavier as we go, just because there's not, at least in that environment, there are other grids that Second Life is not the only one that run a lot lighter, but at least that Second Life environment gets heavier every day.
Yeah.
And so it's it kind of, if you want to run it well, you really kind of have to have a beast at this point.
Interesting.
I mean, not a VR computer.
Sure.
But
yes. But you have to have something that has some oomph behind it. So.
Yeah, you're not gonna run it on a $300 laptop.
Gotcha. So it does take some investment. And so there's still, again, in my head, I'm just trying to like put the people together. There's still that overlap of people that have to at least concern themselves some with gear, you know, like have to care a little bit about things like processors and RAM and video cards. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just coming.
Yeah.
I found a Social Club VR Casino Nights on Steam. So
hey,
if you want to go to
that.
A virtual casino.
I do that.
Sounds like a good time. So I'm
no
sure there's
smoke
other ones.
That way. I'd be all over that.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. There's Alt Space VR, which I've seen before. It's the social VR app. There's a couple other ones on Steam that look similar. Alt Space kind of maybe is the closest thing. Like the little video they have on Steam has like a little live performance with people clapping, and so like it feels very much like what you do in Second Life in VR. It's very cartoony looking. It's not the same kind
right.
of visual thing as Second Life is.
And
but. See,
and the crazy thing is we have talked a lot about it on the show, but Evie has all of this stuff, has built a world that does all of this, but it runs in a web browser.
Yeah.
So everything that I talked about with Second Life being heavy, this world does all of that in a Google Chrome browser. And that was the reason that she built it, was she wanted people to be able to get in on their phones and do different things. If you want to check that out, it's 3dwebworlds.com. It's pretty cool. She's going to be so happy I got a plug in there. She's like, you have this podcast and you never mention our stuff. Well, there it is. 3dwebworlds.com, and it's very cool.
There you go. So that being said, let's talk about some video games, shall we?
Yes, I'm very, very, very excited.
you
should be too, because there's playoff football going on, right?
There
we
is.
Love sports. And that started yesterday, and I didn't see any of it. You want to know why? Because I spent 7 hours in Path of Exile.
That's awesome.
Which is a free-to-play game, for crying out loud. It's completely free-to-play. And I'm totally addicted because it's Diablo 2 remastered, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's sacrilege for me to say. I'll be totally honest, it's not Diablo 2, but it's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if you've downloaded it yet.
So I have it. I fired it up and played half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. And so enough to scratch the surface to see the Diablo-ness of it, because that's super obvious, but not enough to really get into the game and get a good feel for the game yet.
And I'm at that point where it's like, and I told Duff, because I've been telling everybody, I told Cabbage. Cabbage thought I was insane. And I'm like, no, dude, you gotta check it out. I'm like totally in. Like, I'm to that point. Like, I cracked Act 2 last night. Got into the town for Act 2. and it just feels good.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this new ability. I'm running a barbarian because that's what I do. And I have this new ability where I stomp the ground and it creates a shockwave and it just kills everything in whatever direction I'm pointed. And it makes me happy.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. What I'll say about it that I noticed immediately and you mentioned when you told me about it is that it's what Diablo 3 should have been or could have been or whatever. It feels more like Diablo when you fire it up than Diablo 3 does. Like, for us who grew up with Diablo and Diablo 2, like, we were so pumped about Diablo 3, and Diablo 3 ended up being a fine game. But, like, it was fairly obvious that Blizzard made that game for a new generation and not necessarily just to appease us old guys. And there was a lot of disappointing things about Diablo 3, and we played through it, and we had a good time, and we left it alone. But we played Diablo 2 over and over and over and over. Even, I mean, Diablo 2 came out when I was in high school, and you and I played a ton of it, you know, 10 years later or whatever. Yeah. That was a game that owned us. Diablo 3 never owned us.
I can't wait for you to get into it, because I think this is going to own us.
Yeah, it already feels like it has more of that potential simply because it's nostalgic, because it feels like Diablo 2 did, which is something Diablo 3, ironically enough, failed to do.
They do some things that are different. Like, for example, the currency in the game is not gold. It's not anything like that. The currency in the game is actually the different orbs and the different things that you can get to make adjustments to your gear. That's your currency.
I was going to ask you about that because, like, I got to town and had gear that I'd collected, and, like, the chick that I sold it to, like, gave me identification scrolls for it, you know? I was like, here, have gear. And she was like, have scrolls in return. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, whatever. I'll take it, I suppose. But that is definitely a different thing. Like, I don't know if it stays that way. Does it feel like a bartering system more so than the currency?
That's exactly what it is. It's a bartering system because, like, they have different orbs. Like, they have something called a chromatic orb, which will say you have a piece of gear that has three slots. And each slot is a different color. That's another thing that Diablo never did.
Yeah.
Was the slots have different colors. If you want to try and change the colors of the slots so that they match, they have this chromatic orb that you can do. And basically, it'll re-roll the colors on that piece of gear.
Interesting.
And there's various other orbs that, like, there's another piece of currency that you can try it on a piece of normal gear, and it will re-roll it to give it some sort of magical suffix. Like, it'll turn into some sort of magical gear.
Sure.
And it just goes on and on and on and on. And some of this stuff is extremely rare. So if you pick up one of these extremely rare orbs, you can actually go online and trade it for another piece of gear.
Nice.
And it sounds really bizarre, but it's a cool way to get around the idea that, okay, we want this to be an online game, and we don't want to mess with currency, so that's the way they did it.
Yeah, which is fascinating and a good idea in light of something we'll talk about Fallout here in a little bit, where the currency
system. You're right. I don't know why, but your audio just went weird.
That's what I was hearing too, and I was hoping that it was just on my end. We'll try to rectify that really quick. So while I try to fix this, talk to me about the online component of it.
Well, the whole thing is online, and that's what's kind of scary to me, is that the whole thing is built like a World of Warcraft kind of a deal. You log into a server, you've got all your stuff's online, your stash is online, there's nothing local. it's basically like playing an adult version of World of Warcraft. And I don't necessarily like it, but it is what it is. And there's nothing out there right now that is on the same path. I didn't mean for there to be a pun, but there's not really a game out there like this right now. I would think Dragon Age would want to go this way, but it really doesn't. This is gritty and grimy and lots of blood, and when you've got hordes and hordes of people coming at you and you start hacking away, you see some things and it's like, ew, gross, but so cool. It's just unique and rare, and I like it. It just feels good. And the thing that Diablo 2 did that we love so much was the random gear. The gear is what makes the stuff, because you might take out an enemy and you'll never get the same stuff twice. Like, if you go through an area and you take out a group of enemies, you'll get completely different gear than I will get. I haven't tried it yet, but I understand that the maps are also randomized, just like Diablo 2 was. It has all of that good stuff that Diablo 2 has always had. And now it's in this thing, and I'm just really excited.
That's cool, because that was one of my favorite parts of Diablo 2, and Diablo 3 did it. And again, it just didn't feel like Diablo. And so I'm looking for, even the map in Path of Exile just feels like Diablo 2. The gear is fun. The fact that it's all socketed stuff is awesome, and it feels good. I think that's the key. What you said is that it just feels like something that's nostalgic to us. And again, if you never played Diablo 2, you may not care about this at all. But for a free to play game, like, go pick it up and try it.
Well,
at least if you hate it, what do you got to lose?
And that's what I told Duff and Cabbage. Duff and Cabbage were like, it can't be better than Divinity Original Sin. And I was like, guys, I played Divinity for a couple of hours. I played this one for like 10. Like, it's just a different feel. Divinity is good, but this just feels completely different.
Yeah, and it may just scratch a specific itch for us, but that's an itch I've had for a while that I'm wanting to scratch, and so I'm excited about that.
And that's what I was talking about, the Patreon stuff. I'm excited about the fact that this will be something that on your end, we can get together on it and party. You can record the audio, or I can record my side of the audio, and we could have an hour or an hour and a half play session and just stick it up on Patreon.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that we get some of the other Patreon guys involved. We got a huge gaming uncensored party game here. And this is one of those games. And Duff makes me laugh because I got Duff into it. And Duff's trying to like catch up to me so that we can party together. And he said, he sends me a text and he says, I really wish I could use movement keys because all this clicking is going to give me carpal tunnel. And the clicking is what I love about it, because I can do this and not suck.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that's easy for me to do. I'm running their version of the Barbarian as a Marauder. I always do that because it's easy to tank, and you can build it, and that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm building a guy that can just get beat on and he won't die. I can actually do this fairly well, and it's hugely enjoyable to me, so I'm excited to get online and to play with some of you guys Duff and I figured out they do have some connection problems. Like, he and I never got hooked up last night because we couldn't find each other. But I'm pretty sure we're going to solve that. I'm just really excited to get into it. And like I was saying early, it's very much like Diablo was old, like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Diablo's been old for a long time, but part of what we loved about Diablo 2 was that it's gritty and nasty and ugly and blood and guts and gore everywhere, as much as it could be for that time period. This thing has that same grittiness, nastiness thing going to it, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to play more of it. It feels cool. Mentioning just, again, playing Diablo as much as I did, like, I started a ranger class, and there was a couple of things I just knew, like, how to do. For instance, holding down the alt key to see, you know, gear that's on the ground. Or holding down shift. This is such a big thing, but because it's this point-and-click dungeon crawler as opposed to using movement keys, like, if you want to stand still to, like, shoot arrows, you hold shift, which is how Diablo worked. And so just instinctively, I just did that, and it worked. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is just like Diablo. You know, like, it's just everything about it, it just fits what I already know how to do it. Even though I haven't played Diablo in years and years and years, like, it was like riding a bike of just picking it up and going, oh, yeah, this plays. Like, I know how Diablo or a game like that should play. And so, yeah.
It's twice the size of Diablo 2 at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but when you first boot up, they have... There's about three different options. You can play a standard game, which is the regular game that everybody sees now, and or you can go to a league. And the leagues are where they roll out new stuff, like new abilities, new maps, that type of stuff. And apparently the game has just sort of perpetually expanded, because the guy that got me into it said when he stopped playing, they had 6 acts. Well, now there's 10. Nice. So it's perpetually growing, perpetually getting bigger. They're always adding new stuff if you play in these leagues. I did not want to play in the league because apparently each time you die, it does some sort of negative effect to your experience. So there's like an experience penalty each time you die.
Interesting.
And I didn't want to mess with that, even though it would be fun. Because one thing that we loved about Diablo is that Diablo is hard.
Yeah.
And I told you, maybe I didn't tell you, but I hope that before you logged in, you did a little research on how to do a build, because I've been told by multiple people that if you do your build wrong, you're going to get smoked. And I've been told by more people than I can count that they got to act 8 or 9 and were just getting destroyed and got fed up and quit because they built their character wrong. And that's really interesting to me, because the skill tree is huge. Like, it's massive. So that's something that you have to think about that I never really thought about in Diablo. So we're going to see what happens as far as that goes. But I'm really excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. I hope we get to play a lot.
All that said, we do have a little bit of news, so let's at least get into a bit of it quickly. And Fallout 76, like I said, is kind of the thing. Some of this happened before the break, and whatever, we're behind. But some of it's new, and the bigger story really is just kind of the really pathetic, nightmarish rollout of this game. And so let me quickly go through a couple of things that have happened. First of all, things are going bad enough that Bethesda said everybody who's played Fallout 76 in 2018 will get free copies of the Fallout Classic Collection on PC, which applies to if you've played Fallout 76 on Xbox One or PlayStation 4, which you may not be a PC gamer if you've played it on those platforms, and so you get free games that you can't do anything with, whatever. They're giving you free games because it's been going poorly. We talked about economy a little bit. Apparently, the economy in Fallout 76 is terrible, that like you can just go online and buy caps for like next to nothing, and then you can sell them in-game or buy stuff in-game, whatever. That like money has no meaning or whatever in the game. They're putting in a new PvP mode on New Year's Day. There was a bug that prevented nukes from working in the game, which is obviously a big part of the game. And everybody was kind of like, oh, this must be a cool thing for New Year's that they're doing like a day of peace. And then Bethesda was like, nope, we just screwed up and trying to fix it. So on top of the kind of privacy leaks that have happened and the bugginess of the game and the, you know, 40 gig patches and everything else, like, this is the biggest black eye I can think of on Bethesda, maybe ever, like in a long, long time. But it just is a bad, bad look at this point.
It's a bad look, but let's be honest. We've been through this with multiple people. All it takes is for them to release Fallout 5 and it's all over.
Sure.
Or Elder Scrolls 6, and everybody will forget what's been going on. So
with the big caveat here, if they don't screw those up as well, because let's be clear on what Fallout 76 was. Fallout 76 was Bethesda trying to meet gamers where they thought gamers were going, of doing this online survival style game, because there were a bunch of those that were really popular and successful, you know, when they started working on this and even somewhat into the release. But I think that even that genre feels like it's even a little bit dated at this point. And so it was them trying to do something where they thought gaming trends were going, and instead it was maybe a gaming fad. They could easily screw up Fallout 5 or Elder Scrolls 6, or is it Starbound? Is that the name of the new
yes,
IP that they're working
it.
On?
Yeah.
Like, I hope they don't, because I'm a big Bethesda fan. We've talked about this a ton, that there's some guys that listen to this show that aren't nearly as big of Bethesda fans. But I dig Bethesda. I really like Bethesda games, and Skyrim, obviously, is phenomenal. Please give me more of that. But obviously give us less of Fallout 76, because it just is a mess.
I hate to go back to this, because we just spent 20 minutes talking about it, but part of the reason that Path of Exile is so good is because it's an online game that doesn't really feel online. Like, it is, and there's chat, and it's like World of Warcraft in that way. But other than that, like, if that stuff wasn't there, I don't know that I would know necessarily that I was playing online. So you can do that online stuff. Just make it not feel online.
And I'll even go a step further or slightly different direction, but still with Path of Exile in there. Like, look at what Blizzard is doing right now. Look at the Diablo announcement that they just made. That was really poorly received, really poorly rolled out, everything else. It's because they aren't doing what their kind of base gamers want. They may be making a game that's going to be hugely successful. And Fallout 76 may have been that. It's turning out not to be. I think we're pretty well into the point now that we can say Fallout 76 isn't bringing in a whole new crop of players to Bethesda, and it's doing a really good job of turning off players who have been with Bethesda for a long time. But it could have been. And this new Diablo game that Blizzard's working on could be a pathway to new gamers for Blizzard. But it's not for us. It's not hitting, you know, us who have been there for a long time. Like, Overwatch I've played, and just it's okay. It's just not my thing. Like, it's a great built game, but it's not a game that I want to play. And that's sad for me to say about a Blizzard game, because for 20 years, Blizzard games were definitely games I wanted to play. Like, that is a company that put out a game and I would run to pick it up. And I'm not there with Blizzard anymore. I don't have anything on my horizon from Blizzard right now that I'm really interested in. And Bethesda could turn into that too. You know, like, Bethesda could get, and that doesn't mean Blizzard's not successful. Diablo 3 did fine, is doing fine. They put it out on the Switch, and that was a big thing. but it's not me. I don't care. You know, and I fear that Bethesda could get there or continue to screw up and not even get to that point and just be to a point where they're flailing and don't know what to do. So
well, and
that's totally like overblown, but go back to what works, please.
And again, let me just say this. As much as we talk about free-to-play and microtransaction and all that crap, Path of Exile will get some of my money. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm going to buy.
Yeah, what can you buy? What is like the microtransaction component of the game?
I think you can buy everything. I think you can buy gear. The thing that I'm probably going to buy is going to be inventory space. Because that they've got a premium inventory stash that, you know, because Diablo had a stash.
Yep.
And this has a nice large stash. But if you want one that's bigger and that's color coded, for like $250, you can buy a premium stash. And that's cheap. Like, yeah. I feel like with that, with Path of Exile, I'm going to be looking for things to buy because I want to give these guys money because they're doing something that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, you brought up nostalgia twice, you know, 20 minutes ago. It is that it's nostalgia, but it's also that they're doing something we love and they're doing it in a new way. And that's what all these guys have got to realize is Fallout ain't an online survival game. It never will be. You can put Fallout online, but you got to do it different than that.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, to wrap up, kind of tied to this. So, again, not a ton of news, but one of the big things is the if you're a part of any of the like subscription services, so PlayStation Plus or Humble Bundle Monthly or Xbox Games for, I always forget what
Game Pass.
Games, yeah. Games with Gold is the free games that they get with your thing, but Games Pass with that. Yeah, whatever. Some really solid stuff for you if you're a member of one or all of those. So for Humble Bundle, Yakuza 0 is one of the games that's like, when, like, so for any Steam sale, I go on Reddit and see what people are suggesting, like, you pick up on sale. And that's a game that popped up like a million times that people are like, it's so good, you've got to play this game. Well, if you got a Humble Bundle monthly subscription, you now get it for free. You can also get The Division, which I think a lot of people have if they cared about at this point. For PlayStation, it's probably the worst. I would say it's easily the worst one. But Steep, which is the snowboarding game that came out last year, that's fun. I played it because I got it somewhere else for, I think, on Steam for like $5 or something. Whatever, but is a good one. And then, and this is the one I'm going to recommend the most, even though I don't have it, the Xbox Games with Gold free game in January is Celeste, the wonderful platformer that's getting all of these game award nominations, including from the Game Developer Conference. Got lots and lots of noms there. We're not going to talk about that today, but we'll probably come back when they actually pick some winners for that. But you can see all those in the show notes. Celeste did really well there. It's just a fantastic platformer. So if you've got an Xbox and have the Games with Gold, go pick that up and play it because it is a blast. It is fantastic. So no big new releases to talk about. Releases are just bad this time of year. And so Below came out and it's getting poor reviews, which makes me sad. And that was 3 weeks ago or something like that. There is this game Gris on Steam that's supposed to be cool, so there you go. Oh, and I'll mention this one just because I'm looking at the Steam list now and I love it. The Katamari Damacy remake, re-roll is what they call it, is out on Steam, and that is the weirdest game I've ever played, and I love it. And so if you're into really strange games, I don't even know how to, like, puzzle-y, action-y kind of game. If you played Donut County on iOS, which was Apple's game of the year on iOS, this is the inspiration for it. So go play it. It's awesome and very, very bizarre.
I like it. You always liked it. I think it's good they're re-rolling it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I like that they call it re-roll. That just makes me happy. So, yeah, so there you go.
It's old school gamer day today.
Yes, that is very true. I'll mention just really quickly on the Game Developer Conference awards, obviously the other game that's getting tons and tons of love there is Red Dead 2. That's the only thing that I've really, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've put time into. Not really, but I have put time into Red Dead 2, and that game just continues to blow my mind. It's so good. It just keeps getting better.
Have you put time into Red Dead that I haven't seen? Because I haven't looked at it.
Have you seen me go get the horse?
No.
Then, yep, there's some new stuff up there for you.
Nice!
I got a new horse. It's apparently the best horse in the game, and so I'm pretty excited about that.
Very, very cool. We love Red Dead.
It's so good.
I also have to mention that you did a bad thing, and I hate your guts, because you got me Stardew Valley for Christmas.
Yes.
And I have actually been playing that with Avery. Avery was here until this afternoon. So we've been playing that. She loves it because it's Minecrafty.
Yes.
I have to be honest, I need to go get this thing on my phone because the controls are on the PC are horrendous.
They are really bad on the PC. It took me forever to get somewhat comfortable playing it on the PC. I don't know if there's a mod out there. So, like, talking about the Diablo kind of thing in Path of Exile, that point-and-click method to get around would work great with Stardew Valley on the PC because that's essentially what it is on the phone, and it works great on the phone. I don't know if the developer is going to do that, but if not... Maybe there's a mod out there. If there's not, there's tons of mods for it, by the way, which is one of the cool things about doing it on the PC. But if not, somebody should do that. If you could create a mod that gives you point and click navigation like it works on mobile devices, that would make the PC experience, at least in my opinion, so much better.
See, I hope somebody. I didn't know there were mods. So you just said that. Yeah, somebody make a mod.
It's like the fifth game, maybe on Nexus Mods or something like that. I mean, there's a bunch.
Somebody make a mod that will let me do that, because right now, as the controls, with the controls being as they are, I'm not going to play it. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Unless I'm playing with you, because you can do all the work.
Right.
And then, you know, like, we can kind of chill together. Yeah. But right now, it's hard to hoe and do all the, break the rocks and do all the things you got to do.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have to tell you real quick before we wrap on that, the reason that I was frustrated with it is that somehow, I don't know how I did it, but I left my farm to go into town to meet everybody, and I got lost, and I couldn't get back home, and my little guy, like, fell asleep at 2:30 in the morning, and I lost 50 gold, and I was like, screw this, I'm done, and Avery got here, and she started playing it. I'm like, yeah, I got lost. I got really frustrated. I got lost, and she's playing, and she's like, I'll admit these controls are really, really bad, but how did you get lost?
That's hilarious.
Like, how is that possible? I said, I don't know. I just got lost. So, I need a Stardew Valley mod.
Yes.
I love the premise so much. And it would be so addicting if the controls didn't suck.
Yeah. If anybody knows of a good mod for controls on the PC, let us know. Because I would love it, too, to pick it back up on the PC. I opened the thing on the PC after I'd played it a long time on my phone, just to go back to, like, my farm that I did my first time around. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, it's horrible. You know, like, oh, it's so nice to have it on the PC. And then I try to move, and I'm like, oh, right. This is so frustrating. So, yeah. Totally fair.
It's not good. So. And the thing is that I can see, if I can get used to it, I'm going to love it.
Yep.
So, yeah, somebody create that mod to fix the controls, and then I'm all good. That can own me just like Path of Exile is going to own me.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I've done a ton of gaming over the last 2 weeks. And I'm probably about to lose all my time. But before we wrap up, I have to say, folks, we ain't joking about this co-op gaming thing. That's what we want to do. All you Patreon people, better get ready. You better be listening. Because if we're playing something co-op, if Tommy and I are playing something co-op, that means we want you to play with us.
Absolutely.
So download, get an account. Stardew Valley is cheap. Path of Exile is free. One of those two things are what we're doing for probably the next 6 months.
Yeah.
So just get ready for that.
Fair enough. My audio went to crap again.
That's fun.
It's been a heck of a show.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is why we got to wrap this thing up. You know where all the fun stuff is. Go check out the Patreon page. Go check out the Twitter, because Tommy's actually getting funny on Twitter. I don't know if lack of sleep or what's going on there, but that's pretty comical. So check that out. Check out the Facebook page. All kinds of discussion going on over there all the time. Thanks to Firestorm and Cabbage and the rest of those guys. We've got a roundtable coming up. If you want to be involved in that, the way you do that is go be a patron. So definitely go by there and check that out. Other than that, I think that's about it. Thank you, Duff. Which, by the way, sir, I know your audio sucks. I'm really, really excited because there's a present headed your way that's specifically for you.
Interesting.
Duff sent me a text and he's like, I got this thing. What do you think? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So
fantastic.
There's something going to be on your doorstep in a couple of days. And you better get ready to pick your wife up off the floor. Because she's going to roll her eyes hard on this one. So as usual, thank you, Duff, for doing all that you do. You keep us in business. You keep us playing. You keep us happy. And we cannot ask for anything else. To all of you Patreon guys, including Chad, thank you so very much for all that you do. And for right now, I think that's it. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.